No, I'm just a girl with a penis, so
it's okay. Me too.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk to our friend Emily. She's recently come out as a newly decided atheist. So we talk to her about her journey from godliness to atheism.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by Tim Wick.
That's me.
And my husband, Nick Glover.
Now, the funny thing about this is...
Jeez, we're going to do this 2 weeks in a row.
This is the second episode we've recorded this evening, which is the first of the new year. So, yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And in the previous episode that I hosted, I introduced Tim and then at first, and then you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we didn't want to feel like nepotism.
Right.
And yet, even though we acknowledged that fact and kind of laughed about it, you hosting the very next episode still introduced Tim before me.
Otherwise, it sounds like, hi, I'm Molly, and this is Nick, and we're married. Also, Tim is here.
Like, and that's been our episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us this week.
House, so yeah. I feel like we should at least, you know, at least get second billing.
Did you guys see that, you know, for Christmas this year, I got a space heater for the luxurious basement studio.
It's been there.
So it's slightly nicer down here now.
Anyway, so our guest this week is the divine Emily.
That's ironic.
So this is Emily. Say hi.
Hello.
And Emily is in Ville with us and is Nick's partner out at Fest.
Yeah.
And is
fucking partner ever.
And she's here because she is a brand new atheist, I think is the way to put it. I mean, you've been kind of struggling with this for some time. It's a few months.
Yeah, for a few months for sure.
We had some conversations at festival here and there about just kind of like you saying you just kind of felt at sea. And then just recently, you said that you were sure, like you had. Walk us through like what kind of
what you're feeling, you're thinking.
Just like the past couple of months.
Sure, yeah. Whatever you want to talk about.
A timeline.
Because I think a lot of people out there.
Tell us where you started from.
You want
the genesis of it.
That's very good.
That's good.
I grew up in a household where my father was Catholic but didn't really practice. And my mother was, agnostic. Like, she was like, there might be a God, there might not be. So what she did was she let us all choose. Mm-hmm. Me and my siblings, she's like, you go out, you figure out whether or not there's a God, whatever religion you want. And so my sister's an atheist. I'm pretty sure she is. My brother considers himself Catholic, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so I went and I researched and I, like, checked out all these different religions. I, like, researched Buddhism. I researched different forms of Judaism, mm-hmm. Christianity. And I ended up with Lutheran.
How old was this?
I was 12, 13, and okay. I got confirmed and baptized at 14.
In a Lutheran church?
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Like a hippie liberal Lutheran church or more
not
like...
Not hippie liberal, but very welcoming, very pretty
Minnesotan
light.
Minnesotan Lutheran. Yeah. Like traditional Minnesotan Lutheran, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's some pretty crazy conservatives.
Yeah.
Well, there's some nutter butters for sure, but one of the reasons I like this church in particular is that they weren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're really cool. And, like, my godparents are pretty sweet people.
Your mom is from the UK.
Yes.
And it's kind of more common for people to be secular in some form, atheist, agnostic.
It seems like that, yeah. There seems to be a lot less...
Devout Christianity is more rare there, for sure.
At least in our family, like, everybody's either... They consider themselves Church of England, or they're just not. Or they're agnostic. It's not a big deal.
Lazy Protestant or agnostic.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter in their life a lot, is what it means. It's not...
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's never, like, any of the times I've been over there, we've never said a prayer before a meal or anything like that. There's really been no discussion of religion at all. They're more just making fun of us for being Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah.
But you decided you were going to be Lutheran.
Yes.
So were you, like, a every Sunday churchgoer?
I had to for my confirmation classes. I just went with a friend one day, and that was what I settled on. I really liked it. So I started going to confirmation classes, had to study, and got baptized before I could get confirmed. So I got baptized at 13. Mm-hmm. Which was pretty cool. Sorry,
did they do 14. Full immersion, or what do they do for you?
They just dip my head over the basin and just kind of splash the water on it. And it was a really big deal to me, and I had to kind of argue with my parents for it, because I was like, no, I'm serious about this. And I was.
Yeah.
Up until very, very recently, I was very serious about it, and I still was open to other religions. Like, sure. If I was at somebody's house who was Jewish, I wasn't going to dip my chicken wing in the ranch dressing. Like, I'd respect whatever their religious
rules
were.
Did you? Took me half a second.
That's a true story. I was at a friend's house, and we were having chicken wings, and she didn't want me to dip the wings in the ranch dressing, because it was meat and dairy.
Because
God cares.
May the universe.
It was her rules.
Yeah.
So where would you say that things started to get less certain for you? Around what age, or what was happening in your life where you're, because it sounds like you had a really solid faith, a really rock solid, positive, like Gnostic, I know what's what.
Definitely.
And so what happened, if you can think of, maybe not like events, but just kind of like what changed about you, about your life?
I noticed what I liked the most about religions in general is that, like, the sense of community they had. Mm-hmm. And how they, like, even in, like, my public school, you could tell, like, they had their groups. So, like, even if they didn't talk that much, these kids were Jewish, and they had, like, this type of bond. Mm-hmm. These kids were the Lutherans, these kids were the Catholics, these kids
tribal.
Were... Yeah, definitely tribal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything, like, going against each other, but it was just very...
A sense of belonging.
A sense of belonging, a sense of community, and I didn't have that growing up because our parents were like, you choose. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, you choose. And so I think that's what I liked the most. And I felt like that sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. So like when I went to college, I was like, oh, you're Lutheran too. Like it kind of bonded
mm-hmm.
over it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just started to realize like that's what I was going for more than like being forgiven for thinking some guy was hot.
So was it the idea of sin and the concept that you were doing wrong things that made you start to think like, well, that doesn't feel wrong, so why should I feel guilty about this?
Right, so like two gay people adopting. Some people were saying religiously that was bad. I'm like, if there are two loving people who want to give a kid a home, that's incredible. That's loving, like there's nothing to do with religion, and I noticed people were bringing religious arguments into it against
that's it. Kind of the only argument against anything. I mean, I'm not saying like logical argument, because I don't think there are any logical arguments why two men can't get married if a man and a woman can't get married. But I mean, religious arguments are the kind of the only arguments.
Yeah. So it was like, I mean, and tell me if I'm wrong. It sounds like dogma was starting to wear on you, and the people's views that didn't mesh with your own.
Yeah, and it seemed like, to me, it was, I'm going to do good because that's what I want to be done unto me. It had nothing to do with religion. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be kind to someone because that's just like the humanitarian thing to do. Because
you're a human being and you're kind.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't doing it because it was the Christian thing to do.
Right.
I wasn't doing it because some God wanted me to. It was
because you're being bribed by heaven or anything.
You are good. God didn't come into that for you. Like, you were a good person.
Yeah, I was trying to do good just to do good.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know I fucked up. I was an asshole sometimes. But that was like, it wasn't human because being. I was sinning. It was because I was angry or something like that.
Or making bad decisions.
People fuck up.
Yeah.
Because people are human and they fuck up.
Did it feel to you like seeing someone else who says that they are a Lutheran and they so fervently say that you guys believe the same thing, who would then turn around and say, but gays shouldn't marry, or like, oh, but, or sex up before marriage is a sin. Did that make you lose that sense of belonging?
Yeah, definitely.
In that sense of like, well, this guy says he's the same as me. How can I be one of them if,
It was the holier than thou attitude that I really hated.
The someone saying that they know for sure, this despite whatever evidence may or may not be, and that they are better than you because of that, or
just they're better than me because they're being very careful not to quote unquote sin.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Or I was like, I got to know a lot of atheists, like I got to know you guys, I got to know a lot of other people who are atheists, and I didn't see them as like godless. Awful people, like you're godless in a different sense of the term.
We are godless people.
You look at atheists and you're like, well, they don't seem to be leading any more or less moral life than people who claim that they're Christians.
In fact, some of them are all about gays, so it makes you wonder if maybe they are more moral.
Or even if they're straight, it didn't matter. They were judging people for.
I meant more like they are okay with gay rights. They're fighting for gay rights, whereas some religious people are against it.
Or like even the religious people who are for it, there still is like that background of guilt or that little bit mm-hmm. of judging. It's like, why don't you just see everything for what it is? It's a flower. It's this color.
Yeah.
You consider it beautiful. God didn't create it. It's there. It is chemicals put together to create this.
Yeah.
These people aren't doing kind things because it's the God thing to do. They're doing to be kind. It's like the humanitarian.
Yeah.
Sure.
Tim, you experienced that, I think, because Nick and I, neither one of us was really into the church at all.
Yeah.
Neither one of us. We both have said we didn't really ever have faith, you know, to begin with. But
not really.
You did, and to some degree, I mean, at least, did you go through those similar things?
You know, and when I talk about, you know, being raised as a Catholic and having faith, I've also said that I never really bought it. I mean, the whole Jesus died for our sins thing, I could not get into that. It didn't make any logical sense to me. What made logical sense to me and what I kept trying to reconcile for a long time was the idea of God, the idea of there being someone there
creator.
That's greater than ourselves.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was, I guess, something that I've always wanted, the idea that there is something more than us.
Prescient, like something that actually thinks
but I mean, to me, it's more about, you know, there is a certain amount of loneliness that I perceive in our lives. Nobody lives in my head but me. Mm-hmm. And I can, nobody can ever live in my head but me. And I can never live in anybody else's head. And so the idea that there was somebody or something there that lived in all of our heads
and
connected
you.
Us somehow was sexy.
Kind of like,
kind of like
the way an adopted kid like would fantasize about their real parents, like their birth parents being like movie stars that would understand them and like they would never ground me.
Rescue them someday.
Kind of thinking about God as being like, you know what? God gets it. You know, even all these assholes don't get it. Maybe that girl who just broke up with me doesn't
get
it.
Sounds amazing. Who wouldn't want that to
see? That was the thing about God.
That sense of community.
And a supreme being, whatever that meant, that was attractive to me.
Hard
the
to
problem
up.
Was it wasn't logical.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. It didn't jive with the evidence. And so I would keep trying to find a way to steer the evidence in a way mm-hmm. that it would jive with what I wanted to believe.
Like people that say, well, what's a day to God? And things like that.
Yeah.
And you're like,
it's
day's a word that means
day.
That's a huge problem that I had, like with the Bible and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it has been translated so many times. Like, have you ever played a game of telephone?
Let's do
that over about 3,000 years through
with
how many different
how
languages.
Be, right.
Well,
yeah.
And how many times has it changed? Clearly, obviously, like no doubt whatsoever that there was a political reason for changing. I mean, like the founding of the Church of England.
If you take Old Testament settings.
Shit like that. Like
what about divorce?
Right, exactly. Those rifts happened for...
I mean, recently, the conservative Bible, where retranslated, quote-unquote.
If you take an Old Testament studies class, like, they will talk about there are four separate voices in the Old Testament, and that's the four separate groups of people that wrote it, and they know what they are. Like, it's not disputed. It's, like, the priests of this age, like, the scholars of this age. This other group of monks.
Yeah.
And then this fourth group of something else that we're not sure, but it's a fourth voice.
I think it's
interesting, and it's that kind of stuff is not in dispute yet.
Biblical scholars.
Right. I feel safe saying most people don't know anything about that. Who call themselves Christians? Who are Christian? Who follow the Bible?
When I definitely give props to the ones who learned Hebrew, who learned Sanskrit, who learned Latin. So
that's hardcore
scholars. Yeah.
Well, that was one of my pastors. He spoke and read all those languages, and he had bachelor's degrees in them. And I respected him for that. Like, I feel like you have a better understanding of this than I do, because I'm reading a new international version of something that was written how many thousand years ago in what
translated
language?
From a Romance language into a Germanic language into a Romance language into a Germanic language is not a good
just type a phrase into Google Translate and work it through a couple of different languages and see how
it
comes
out.
In
the same
out.
Language back and forth a couple times even will change.
How many of that was a metaphor? And like, we have sarcasm now. Did they have sarcasm back then?
I would
love it if like large portions of the Bible were actually written sarcastically. Like, some jackass showed up and said he could feed an entire army of people with just one loaf of bread and one fish.
And he had the sardines. Yeah.
Remember this fucking prick? He fed us all.
We all ate.
None of us starved.
No one went hungry.
Any of our conversations out of context really easily just from like reading it to speaking.
Mixing
around the order the words were said.
Uh-huh. Well, it's like our the press. They never get anything wrong. Like that's our record of history.
I trust the news.
Yeah.
So what happened recently? Because obviously, I mean, it was around festival time that you said that you were really starting to think seriously about atheism and what you were asking us some more questions.
That was when you first
Well, I was definitely talking to you guys more. I was talking to another group of atheists, and they seemed like good people. They weren't doing anything like outrageous. Mm-hmm. Like, they were being really kind, warm-hearted people, and like,
and they kidnapped you and brainwashed you.
Was totally. Was it a group of atheists just like hanging out behind the privy smoking or something like
no,
that?
Just, just I knew that they were atheists, and I got to know them better this year, and it was just interesting. And then I started working for a religious school, and I had some reservations about it, but I really needed a job.
I remember that. You saying you asking if. If any of the you in your interview, I remember you said you wanted to ask about what their stances were on certain political button issues that mattered to you a lot because you couldn't work there if they were
And they seemed pretty open and non-judgmental and welcoming, and so I tried it out. And that entire community, they are so kind.
Mm-hmm.
Like they really don't push their religion on me. I don't know if they knew that I was Lutheran or if they knew that I was a different sect of Christianity at all than they were.
Mm-hmm.
But they are just warm-hearted people. Like my students are great, the parents, the entire staff.
You work with kids.
Yes.
Children. And kids are basically good. I mean, they're, you know, kind of blank slates at that point still.
Yes.
What's the worst a kid does?
They haven't been
Billy
huge,
pushed
yeah.
Susie into the sand and she pulled his hair. I mean, that's, you know.
And I'm still able, like, when something like that happens, like, you need to be kind to your friends. You need to, you know, be here to make friends. You need to learn how to be nice to one another.
Socializing. At that age, it's mostly socializing.
It is.
Anything below sixth grade is just... Social skills.
Learning how society operates.
Even like in like high school, that's still some social skills.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pecking
order.
So being exposed to kind of Jesus constantly.
In the school. New for me, growing up in a public school.
It sounds like you were exposed to extremes. It sounds like at Fest with us and with this other group of friends, you're all of a sudden exposed to people who had an opinion, strong or otherwise. They had an opinion that there was no God. That was that's what they hold.
And that was the one thing that I didn't check out when I was like 13 was I didn't talk to atheists.
Yeah.
And well, it's not a religion. Why would you have
Researching
religion?
If you're picking one, it seems like a non-choice kind of.
Yeah.
And then
the thing is, when you were that age, they were hanging out on street corners smoking, and the cops were just
wheeling.
Emily, that's like saying I went to a restaurant and I couldn't decide what to eat. I never thought about getting nothing. Like, I mean, like, that was
true. Well, right, yeah.
You were hungry.
Exactly. But then, and in addition to being exposed to these new atheists, who are a positive figure, you're being exposed to religion in not necessarily in a negative way either, but it's
extreme.
More, you're saturated in it because it's your workplace.
And
it's
there's a sense of community on both sides.
Definitely.
Because the Fest, I mean, people at Fest, that's a huge thing, is that sense of community out there.
Yeah.
And seeing atheists, and I mean, the three of us, or anyone who gets along and
Tim's not a good example. He's not a positive influencer in it, but the rest of us are
he's right.
Well, and even at the beginning of the year when
Tim killed
the
guy.
Considered myself strongly Lutheran, I didn't think negatively on anybody who was an atheist. That
was
just like their choice.
It just didn't occur to you to really, you know, get into it.
Right.
So was there anything that, I mean, I don't, to use a thing from the Bible, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? I mean, what?
That's
from
the
Bible?
It's from the Bible,
I know
the straw that breaks the camel's back's from the Bible.
The Bible has some beautiful poetry and some really interesting teachings for
couple
just being
hot chapters. Chapters.
Yeah.
There's some serious good, serious sex going on.
Interesting stuff going on.
There's that story about that guy who's hung like a horse.
Yeah, there's that time when that chick drives the tent peg into the dude's face.
That's right.
That's hot. It's basically the plot of Hard Candy.
Kind of,
Well, what I heard was they'll hold prayers over the intercom, so the entire school is praying, and a couple of times I'll be walking through the hallways to go and get something, and I hear it, and I'm like, I don't believe this at all. I'm feeling really uncomfortable. You felt
empty.
I did. I felt empty, and I felt uncomfortable with it. I felt like, growing up, I had the choice. I wanted these kids to have the same choice. But this is what their parents have set them into, and so I will respect that.
Yeah. You know what? They're free to change their mind or not believe or...
Are they, though? Well, they're going to a Christian school, and yeah. I guarantee that means they have a very Christian home.
But you know what? It's...
Not necessarily. Sometimes it's just a really good education.
Sometimes it's just for the school, okay. Right? And other times, I mean... There's a certain level of indoctrination getting your kids started on the religion that you are. Just kind of, you make the assumption that that's what they should be because that's what you are.
It's hard to break away.
But, like, atheists come from somewhere. There are plenty of agnostic and atheist people that were raised with religion.
There's a big difference between rebelling against the way you were raised and becoming an atheist when you decide that for yourself, which is kind of traumatic to some degree. And what Emily had, which was being exposed to go choose.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely different than a lot of people we hear about who have kind of like figured out that they're atheists.
This is just one of those things that, you know, understanding a little bit about, you know, what you're talking about, hearing these things over the intercom going, I just don't totally, you know, with me, like when I was growing up, it was like, there was literally, I had a physical reaction. It was like this knot in the pit of my stomach when it didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And then when I was just like, no, that I can't logically reconcile what they're saying with what's real.
Mm.
And I don't know if it was the same feeling, but I mean, to me, there was a physical reaction.
There was definitely a gut reaction. Like, I started to like, okay, I'm trying to find this. Like, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm losing it. Like, there's nothing. I don't feel like there's a God. There isn't anything. And I was driving home from work and it just kind of hit me. I'm like, I can't find any logical explanation for it. And I actually started crying. Yeah. It was my main thing. And I'd been feeling depressed for about a week. And I think that was like the main thing. It's like, I'm losing my faith. I'm losing like the sense of warmth and community.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that I feel like I'm going to hurt.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason I was crying is like, my godparents, a couple of my friends who are, their parents are a different religion, but like basically were my second parents growing up. They're extremely Christian and religious, and I felt like, how am I going to explain this to them?
But do they like your mom?
Do they like my mom?
Yeah,
definitely.
And so obviously, it's not an issue
for
them in terms of liking someone. They might be disappointed, but they're probably just as disappointed as when you didn't do that thing they wanted.
If you had like a cool uncle that like taught you how to play guitar and gave you one of his old guitars and like really got you into music, and then one day you were just like, I'm not into music anymore. Actually, I got rid of my old guitar.
Yeah.
I could see you'd think that they might be, if your relationship with them is based on God, because you're godparents, and that's your link to them, and all of a sudden you don't have this half of your link anymore.
And you know, they could feel like, as your godparents, they could feel like they failed you somehow.
Or that they're going to be hurt, because it's like, well, we were taking care of you, why are you doing this to us? And I hope that's not the reaction, because they were very good to me. Like, my godfather definitely stepped in and as a father figure for me.
If it is, I mean, and just if that is the reaction, that's at odds with why you got into religion in the first place, though. Because why you got in was to find a community that wants to experience that non-judgmental human kindness and just compassion for people
to accept you.
And so for someone even your godparents to say to you that like this hurts them, how a decision you make about your own personal views could hurt them, that just feels like something you probably should try not to let get to you.
Yeah, honestly. And I think, you know, having had the experience more recently and having come from a religious family, my mom's still a Catholic, you know, when I came out, when I said, you know, I'm an atheist, and I didn't do it in a, hey mom, let's sit down and talk about this. I just started talking about the fact that I was an atheist online, and I blogged about it and I wrote about it on Facebook, and I knew my mom saw those things, and I wasn't trying to hide it from anybody. And, you know, there wasn't a negative response from the, my sponsor, because I was confirmed Catholic, and my sponsor is a Facebook friend, and you know, she still is a Facebook friend.
Yeah.
It's not like we suddenly, it's not like everybody that that was religious that was around me disappeared. But the thing that did happen that was cool was a bunch of people that were around me that were atheists said, yeah, I know exactly how you feel.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
New community.
And sure. that community just sort of appeared out of nowhere. And all of a sudden you're like, you know, I'm not the only person.
Right.
That has come to this conclusion. And I work really hard on not saying I'm not the only person that believes this because because then you get into that whole argument it's just a religion because it's a belief system. It's like, right. No, it's not a belief system. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is I have looked at all the evidence and I've come to the conclusion that there is no God.
Yeah.
It's the difference between a hypothesis and a theory.
Well, it's interesting that you say that the way you came about it, because that to me feels more lasting than we've talked before on the podcast about the and I'm going to say, you know, commit a fallacy, but the atheists in air quotes that are just really just kind of mad at God.
Yeah.
Like they still believe in God.
The
they're
angry
just so
atheist.
Angry that they're like, you know what? Fuck you, God. I don't even believe in you anymore.
That's people when they are first moving away from religion.
Yeah.
And that can
stick. But I feel like a lot of those people tend to either go back to it or they waffle for a while or whatever. But the way you came to it sounds a lot more like how all three of us came to it, which was just it started feeling empty.
Yeah.
It started feeling hollow. And then after that, you started thinking, well, if the prayer feels hollow, why?
Yeah.
Well, it's because I think no one's listening? Oh, I do think no one's listening.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, what does that mean? That's a whole other ramification.
It's
like,
almost like a grieving process.
It is.
For sure.
Do you feel relief now that you've, after the initial, like, kind of overwhelming emotion, was there that cathartic relief of, now I feel certain?
There was a sense of relief, definitely. I'm not doing, like, little rituals that I used to do, and that's nice. Like, I'm not praying before I go to bed. I'm not feeling guilty if I do that. I'm not trying desperately to find some type of Christian song I actually like, because I had a Christian radio station set in my car. I'm like, just give me something, like. Toby Mac was like the closest I came to. I'm like the
that's
rest of
the
you.
Straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
No good Christian music.
Well, Toby Mac's not bad, but
yeah.
I have no idea who that is.
Do you think do you feel like at this point the lack of guilt is something that you're really noticing the most?
Yes.
Do you feel guilty about not feeling guilty?
No. See, relieved.
You feel relieved to not have to feel like you're doing wrong.
Right.
And that you're, because that's something that I always thought, that was one of the reasons I knew it wasn't for me, was I never felt guilty about that stuff. Because, and that was why, because I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. Just the way people who will say, oh, I don't break laws, but they speed, because we're speeding, come on.
That
I mean,
doesn't count.
That's a dumb law.
That's a cute law. I follow it, but it's cute.
Yeah.
I don't do drugs. I smoke pot every once in a while.
Oh, I thought we were talking about drugs.
No, it's definitely a relief.
I don't drive drunk. I just drive tipsy.
Exactly. Yep. See, no, exactly.
According to a billboard I saw, Tim, driving tipsy is driving drunk.
Yeah.
What?
He said as he sipped his scotch.
Yeah.
It's a good scotch, by the way.
Yeah.
It was a gift.
It was a gift. Okay, I think, how are you feeling now? Like, I mean, what's your takeaway? Because I think we're about where we need to kind of wrap it up, but, like, just, this is, I know, all very fresh for you. We just talked about this a week ago or so.
It's still feeling very emotional. I'm still, like, fully coming to terms with it and, like, looking at the stuff around my house that has, like, a cross or something and being like, you're a symbol of something nice, but you don't mean the same things to me anymore.
It can still be pretty.
It's pretty, but you're the idea of something cool, but I just don't believe in it. It's still very raw and emotional.
Have you talked to your mom?
No. She's seen me reading Pendulette's God Notebook.
You should talk to your mom first.
Well, I can't imagine why she would have a negative.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think your mom might be able to help you a lot.
My mother would be fine with it. She'd be like, okay, this is your decision. It's always been your decision.
Yeah.
That's what you believe. That's cool.
She might help you with talking to your godparents and other people in your life.
Sure.
That she knows.
Hey, I mean, if they even need to be talked to, like if it comes up, I don't know. Some people, like, they're atheists and they want everyone to know it's important
deal.
That they know.
Mm-hmm.
And some
always.
People, they're atheists and it's not important people know. And it just doesn't matter to them in that
and
way.
And if it comes up, you talk about it, but not necessarily. Like Tim was saying, you know, he started blogging about it. And then people may have started asking him, but you didn't make a big deal. You didn't sit people down.
I didn't write out a big old, hey, everybody, I'm coming out of the closet as atheist.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've said on previous podcasts and will continue to say that I think it is important as an atheist to say that you're an atheist.
Yes.
Not necessarily to inject it into every conversation. No, by the way, I'm an atheist, but to not be afraid of the word and to not be ashamed.
Yes. Yeah, you got to be represented.
And I want to make it clear that, you know, because that may seem at odds with us not using Emily's last name and not talking about what school she teaches at, but that's a different situation because that's a contract with a private religious organization that has the right to do. I mean, they do. They have the right to do whatever they want. So rather than risk your job, just in case, it's better to do that. But I agree. There's a difference between being ashamed and then being prudent about, you know, that kind of stuff.
I'll definitely be prudent about it, but I'm not ashamed of it. I will still respect what you are teaching your kids.
Yeah.
And I will continue to take care of your student, like my students, mm-hmm. and I will respect you, but...
Do you have to lead prayers?
No. That's good. My boss says she usually leads the prayers.
That's nice. That's nice.
You know what? I wouldn't want to lead prayers if I didn't believe it. It would feel so, like, lying.
I would talk to him. That's what I would talk to my boss, yeah.
I'd be so uncomfortable saying that with leading people that believe in something that I don't believe in. It feels disrespectful to them.
The faith healer.
Yeah.
Well, my boss, I called her before I came on this podcast. I'm like, just so you know, I'm doing this. What is okay? What isn't?
Oh, that's really cool.
She was totally supportive. She was wonderful. She can't wait to listen to it.
Hello, Emily's boss.
Hi, boss. No, give her a raise.
We hear good things.
She's wonderful. She was so supportive. She's like, just be kind of careful about what you name, but she's like, wherever you are in your faith journey, that's for you.
That's really progressive. That's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. On one hand, like, ultimately, it's none of your employer's business what you believe or don't believe, right?
Yeah.
Totally. At the same time, you're a responsible, pragmatic adult who realizes that it might matter for where you work. And you just were cool and you talked to them about it in an mm-hmm. assertive way. And they gave you what they thought was cool and you compromised and that's the way it is. I mean, that's how adults handle their
reasonable
shit.
Reasonable people do things.
It was communication is all
right.
It was.
Yeah.
But it was crazy for me because I've been so private about my faith ever. Yeah. So this is a whole new thing for me because I was always very private about it.
Well, welcome.
Yeah.
It's time for 5 questions. Emily, are you ready?
All right.
So question number one is, what is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days? At home, in the theater, on Netflix, at a friend's house, doesn't matter.
The Heat.
The Heat. We still haven't seen that.
My God. Hilarious. Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. So Melissa McCarthy's funny shit.
She's very funny.
She's physically, like, her physical comedy is great.
Even she couldn't save Identity Thief, though.
Oh, boy.
But her deadpan delivery.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Excellent. Yeah,
because she's the hard ass street cop.
She is. She's definitely like the no bullshit. I'm going to tell you exactly how it is.
And awesome. And Bullock is reprising her role from Miss Congeniality.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Awesome.
I saw The Heat. I liked it. There are certain cliches to the Hollywood feminist in quotes movie that I saw that kind of
Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, that kind of bugged me a little bit, and it's just like. You really, you know, you're
does
not
it
making.
Pass
you're
the
not making.
Test?
Well, yeah, they actually spend a lot of time not talking about guys, but but it is really funny. It is really funny.
Number one problem with those feminists was they didn't have a penis.
Question number two: what is your favorite atheist character?
You may not have one because you may just be pretty new to it.
I am brand spanking new. I guess for now, just because it's the only character I know, or the pen.
Oh, yeah, Penn Jillette.
Yeah.
Penn and Teller.
He's a serious character.
Well, I would say Penn is definitely a character. I mean, that's just
his stage character.
We went at Huge Theater. He recorded his podcast, Penn Sunday School, at Huge Theater.
You know how mad I missed that?
It was really fun.
We went. We had a good time, and someone asked him about his libertarianism.
Mm-hmm.
And, how much can you actually believe in how hardcore of a libertarian you are? It is basically what they asked, and he went on to explain that he's a moral libertarian, but not a pragmatic or actual wanting. He's not a political libertarian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He thinks that morally being a libertarian is right because the government has a monopoly on the ability to use force on people, and as such they are essentially forcing us to pay taxes whether we choose to participate in society or not, and morally he has an issue with that, but politically, logistically that's not necessarily, he's not saying it's any better or even practical, which is fun to hear him admit, because it was kind of a sticking point.
Yeah.
Well, I've this is a kind of a tangent, but Mark Lazarchuk, who's a libertarian, and he and I have had political discussions before. He's a libertarian. I'm a liberal, and you know, we both agreed. It's like we both believe that neither one of us is absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
We both believe that the best solution is a hybrid of what we both believe.
The best solution in any compromise is no one's happy. So government. That's the best.
Everyone should walk away from the table feeling like they ripped off the other person, but also got totally ripped off.
That's how you know your divorce went right. That's it.
Well, you guys will know that someday. So.
No, actually, you won't. Good luck.
Yeah. Question. You first.
It's just one long game of chicken, this marriage. Like it's a series of escalating.
I know exactly how
you will blink before I do.
No.
I dumped my wife a long time ago, and she says that our entire marriage is her revenge.
That's hilarious.
I always knew I liked her.
Our third question number three, ironically, is what is your geekiest hobby? Like, what's a hobby you have that maybe other people, even other geeks, would consider super geeky? And you're not crazy geeky. So Yeah, so maybe you have a lot of, I will say this.
Everybody's a geek about something.
We went to a party at Emily's house. I hate that. We went to a party at Emily's house, and I would say that I, for the first time in a long time, actually felt geeky in a way that was like self-conscious and normal people. These are like normal.
Hey, that one guy had a Zelda tattoo.
Who are not going to understand this whole deal. So I need to be cool.
Like when you start talking about Doctor Who, they'll be like, Doctor Who?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not, I don't watch that, but what is that?
What's his name?
And that's not disparaging, but like you were, people that
you did have like, I seem to remember there being like a kind of impressive stack of vinyl in the corner.
Sure.
And you had stuff like that. I mean, there's stuff you can be geeky
of. She geeks out about stuff.
Oh, I geek out about music for sure. I have two violins, a viola, a piano, a guitar, and my record player is probably my most prized.
Do you play all those?
I do.
That's geeky.
Geeky.
My favorite song in the world for less.
I'm just saying.
What's your favorite song in the world to play?
It's Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven. It is the most soothing song to play, and I've got the entire thing memorized, and I play that, and I just feel better. It's like my therapy.
That's awesome. Nerdy. That's fantastic.
Our fourth question, which as Molly would point out, is our question number four, is what is your favorite sandwich? And be specific.
Because Nick's hungry.
Hungry for a new wife.
Hey-o. Jesus.
Ooh, a Jesus sandwich. That
a
sounds
sandwich
good.
Is this thing where there's bread and
I got
food.
I got you.
A wrap would count.
Probably.
Hell,
just,
I think a burrito would count.
The roast from the night before, if I had made some type of meat roast.
Yep.
Yeah.
That cold with lettuce, tomato, and a little bit of the HP sauce.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good.
Which is like the British equivalent of A1, kind of.
Basically, yeah. It's
what kind of bread?
Wheat. Toasted. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you butter it or anything, or
no? With the
dry
meat
toast.
And the HP sauce,
yeah.
It's amazing.
Do you put the sauce on the meat, and then the lettuce and stuff on top, or does the sauce go between all the toppings and the bread?
The sauce definitely goes on the meat.
Of course it does.
Okay, good.
I don't even know why you asked that question.
No. There are people that insist on putting sauces just on...
And they are fucked up people.
I put the mayonnaise and the mustard on the bread because that's how I learned
to
make
sandwiches.
Well,
no. You put mayonnaise and mustard on the bread, but the steak sauce and you put on the steak.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Steak sauce goes on steak.
I feel like, because all three of us just now came to the exact same conclusion without discussing it in any way, all three of us agree right now, four of us even, Emily's probably not on this, HP sauce goes directly on the meat.
Yes.
But if you're doing
like
mayo
mom.
And mustard, you put them on the bread
first
because you want that spread with the butter knife.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And now,
to make it soft, the HP sauce is to enhance the meat.
It's like I like hamburgers with Heinz 57 sauce. You don't put the Heinz 57 sauce on top of the lettuce. What the fuck is that shit about?
Because it's just going to be slippery, wet.
Yeah, it's supposed to go on the meat.
Damn
right. Why did I not have dinner before I came?
All right, question number five. You may not have an answer for this because it's pretty early, but what's the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism? Or the stupidest thing you've read about atheism? Or
the insulting, or... The stupidest thing
you've heard someone really just say about atheism in general.
Yeah.
It's okay if you don't have an answer. Don't worry.
That they're going to hell because there isn't any hell.
Ah.
Yeah.
Good.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Aren't you worried about burning in hell? I don't believe
there
in hell. That's not a valid threat
conversation.
Isn't that freeing?
It is.
There's nothing. This is the life you get. Live it and live it as well as you want, and make the most of it.
I had a conversation last night where somebody said at some point that I wasn't gonna fear death. There was some point where I was going to invite death, and I was like, no, I don't invite death.
Yeah,
I'm not looking forward to it.
I could see inviting death, but it's not because I know there's something else.
Yeah,
it's because I'll be like, "Fuck, I'm done. Like, I am out." In fact, I almost invited death on this one hill today.
I ran a race today,
and it was 6 below 0, and it said feels like 19 below. When I ran this race, I was running, so but like, everything was still numb.
So, like, add your miles per hour to the. To make the wind chill worse.
It was cold as fucking balls. When I was done, my eyelashes were frosted.
Balls are the coldest balls.
Yeah, sure. There's definitely been some soccer matches where it's like there's freezing wet rain. I'm like, I'm done. Just I want to be warm again.
Yeah.
You play soccer?
I used to.
Huh.
She plays football, actually.
Oh, right.
She is from England. Yeah. Her mom's from England.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Emily, we really loved having you on. Thank you for sharing your brand new experiences with us.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. And, you know.
We'll send you the informational packets and the kit and the decoder ring.
Teach you the handshake.
Thank you. I want to know the secret handshake.
Yeah, guys, feel free to, if you are, you know, recent coming out as atheist or maybe you haven't yet or whatever, share your story. We'd love to hear it. Leave a comment. We'll be keeping track of those. Thanks so much, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
See you soon. If you have your 5 answers to our 5 questions, you should send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Please send them, because we need some.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
I looked at all the religions in the world, and I chose Lutheranism. Said no one ever.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
That's different, and different is scary.